This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 9:15. If you have watched any college sports, you're seeing a guy doing a commercial about the Sports Broadcasting Act of 1961, and you're saying, what now? Well, Matt Brown, publisher of the Extra Points newsletter, has a story up at extrapointsmb.com talking about it, and we thought we'd talk to him about it as well. How you doing, Matt?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on today.
Thanks for taking the time. Tell me who this guy is and what's this all about.
Sure. So the gentleman that you're seeing on these commercials is a fella named Cody Campbell. Campbell was a former offensive lineman at Texas Tech. He is the current Board of Regents chair for the university, and also happens to be a billionaire who made his money in the oil and gas industry in West Texas. Campbell is somebody who has become significantly involved in legislative efforts to regulate college sports. He was one of the guys tied to President Trump's commission on college athletics, and has been very vocal in wanting to change federal law to accommodate where college sports is going right now.
So what is the Broadcasting Act of 1961, a sports broadcasting act that for anybody that was around that may not remember it, not because Lord knows I don't know anything about it.
And this was something I vaguely remembered from college, and it was not typically what I'm thinking about when I'm watching football on a Saturday. But what this law allowed was for the NFL and then any other professional sports league to sell their TV rights as a collective unit rather than individual teams. You know, prior to 61, the Giants might have their own TV deal, and the Eagles and the Packers might have their own. But the CBS couldn't sell a nationwide deal with the entire NFL. That was viewed as collusion. That was an antitrust violation.
Against the stations, right? Against the affiliates by the network. Do I understand that right?
Against the NFL.
Against the NFL.
The federal judge viewed like, look, you can't. The Packers and the Cowboys and the Colts are all competing against each other. How can you pool all of their broadcast rights together? That's
gotcha.
Price fixing.
Okay.
So you have right. So then the law changes, and the very narrow exemption for just pro sports leagues, which has helped all of the pro sports leagues make a lot of money. They make much more money selling broadcast rights as a totality rather than individually. And it also had some special rules that were meant to protect high school and college football. The law says that the NFL can't have games on Fridays during the middle of September, through the middle of December, if the game's anywhere near a high school or a college. Mm-hmm. It's meant to kind of say Friday's high school, Saturday's college, Sunday's the NFL. And that worked for a while, but I think it's pretty clear that's not really terribly effective legislation now.
Yeah, we had a Friday night game, so what are they, just blatantly violating the law?
Well, one of the things the NFL can do now is you could play a game in, say, Brazil or Germany. And São Paulo is not 75 miles from any American high school program. And because the NFL has become so popular and we have broader distribution channels, you can still have that. You'll still be on national television. The game's just not in the United States. And there are a couple of other exceptions around Black Friday or some of these other issues here. But like this bill was written not just before streaming, but really before cable television. Like the idea of a network being able to broadcast more than one football game on a day was not something that was really a thing in 1960. It's very much a thing now.
What does that have to do with college sports, as Cody Campbell is talking about?
This is a good question. And I would agree with Campbell here, and I think many other reporters would too, when he says, look, current financial model in college sports is facing tremendous pressure. You and I have talked about this too, between having to pay money directly to players, between labor and construction costs increasing, a lot of high-end facilities, all these other issues, and every single school is looking for more revenue. And what Campbell is concerned about is, hey, if we don't find a way to dramatically grow that revenue, the thing that's going to get cut are going to be women's and Olympic sports, which is something that is already happening at the FCS and 1AAA level.
And you and I have discussed that already.
We have. Yep. So his proposed solution is, hey, what if instead of having an SEC television deal and a Big Ten television deal and a Sun Belt deal and a Southland Conference deal, colleges were allowed to package all of those things together, just like they did before 1984 at the NCAA, and sell one television package.
Go back to 1984, because at that point, there were not different conferences, and different conferences couldn't have their own deals?
The way that it used to work, and I think some of your listeners here might remember this, mm-hmm. is it used to be the NCAA controlled all of the television money. There was no SEC television deal or Pac-8 TV deal.
Or Notre Dame, for example.
Yeah. And the NCAA decided how often you were on television and what you're going to watch, and that might mean you were watching a 1AAA game that day. In 1984, Oklahoma and Georgia sued and won at the Supreme Court. It's called the Board of Regents v. Oklahoma. And that Supreme Court decision said the NCAA couldn't control all of these things. That was an antitrust violation. It wasn't part of the Sports Broadcasting Act. And so conferences could set their own deals. In the short term, that led to everyone making less money. In the medium term, it led to all the conferences making a lot more money, exploded money within college sports. And now Campbell and a couple of other conference commissioners are saying, you know, I think we would make more money and we would get rid of this incentive to have cross-country conference realignment if we were all part of one TV deal. And in order for that to happen, we need an antitrust exemption, and that requires us to amend the SBA.
I'm trying to stay up with you, Matt. I'm trying to see if one amends that and goes back to the other one. But so they want to go back to 1984 or
essentially a version of that. What was happening before 84, the government said was illegal. In order to go back to that system, where one unit controls all of the TV and sells it, you need a change in the law. 84 said one unit is an antitrust violation. Mm-hmm. Everyone else is allowed to do it because they have an exemption written into the Sports Broadcasting Act. But because college sports technically aren't professional, they're not included. So that is what Campbell wants. He wants to be able to combine the Big 12 and the ACC and the SEC and the Big 10 TV contracts and have one gigantic partnership distributes the money rather than five or six different deals.
So how is that going to change conference alignments or put them back to where they were?
And what Campbell or somebody else that believes in this proposal would say, there's no reason for Cal to be playing an ACC schedule if Cal is going to make the same television money whether they no matter what. Cal moves to the ACC because the Pac-12 dissolves and because they need a place to be able to play and to have this certain kind of distribution. So if everyone's part of the same deal and you had a central body that can make some of these scheduling decisions, it would be much easier to say, okay, now let's redraw these things where it either lines up more with geography or with history. So then we're not traveling 2,000 miles away to go play a random conference game that we can't sell tickets to. Let's move back to alignment.
Where do the TV networks and the conferences stand on this?
Well, it depends on the conference, right? Mm-hmm. If you are a conference that is not at the top of the food chain right now, you're probably excited by this. You know, one of the loudest proponents of this kind of arrangement is Tim Pernetti, who's the commissioner of the American Athletic Conference.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't necessarily think he's wrong from his position, but yeah, of course, if I had a league with Temple and ECU and UTSA, I would love to bundle with people that have more attractive rights, because it's going to be harder and harder for me as the American to get a worthwhile TV package moving forward, especially if I lose a school or two. If you're the Big Ten and the SEC, you hate this idea because you already have a significant financial and competitive advantage. If you are suddenly merging your television package with Texas Tech and Wake Forest, you lose that. You no longer have preferred governance power compared to everybody else. There's a reason that all these pro sports did this back in the early 60s, before the gap between the rich and the poor clubs was so massive. It would be very difficult to get this approved now.
So is there support for this in Congress or not? Or is he just making some noise?
No, it's a good question. And based on my reporting right now, this is not an issue that has captured a lot of congressional attention. And I think there's a good reason for that, right? There's a lot of things going on in this country right now. Mm. And revisiting
in the world.
70-year-old in the world, yeah. If you're in the Louisiana 2nd District or 3rd District, I don't think revisiting a 70-year-old broadcast law is the number one thing on your agenda. It becomes that way when donors and then later voters start pushing for it. If one guy who's worth a couple billion dollars starts putting commercials, then you start thinking about it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
There are a couple of lawmakers over the last decade, Republicans and Democrats, that have suggested changing this law, in part because of wanting to revisit the legal requirements around blackouts. And that may very well be something that gets adjusted. But the bulk of Campbell's plan is more popular right now with Campbell and a few college sports executives than it is in Congress or even with the broadcast network.
All right, so let's go back to Olympic sports, because part of what he said was that it would affect Olympic sports and women's sports. How does that how do we get back to there? Because we still got name, image, and likeness, right? And we still got salary caps or not?
Yeah, and this is, I wrote about this in the story too. I think this is where I would significantly disagree with Mr. Campbell, mm-hmm. and I'm open to being persuaded otherwise, and still going to report this out. His theory is that if everyone's operating budget jumps by $15, $20, $25 million, then there won't be a need to cut women's tennis because there will be enough money to pay for women's tennis, pay those coaches, pay those facilities, and still
say that part again, Matt.
Yeah, Campbell believes if all the universities get an extra $20 million from your television deal.
How are you defining all the universities, and where is that money coming from?
Sure. So we'll define all the universities as Division I FBS football playing institutions,
okay.
Schools that would be a part of this unified television deal, hypothetical unified television.
So Northwestern deal. State, McNeese? No, because that's not FBS.
So, no, because they're FCS.
All right.
That would be a different television.
Gotcha.
Contract.
Okay.
But this
FBS
would include, so Monroe, Tulane, Lafayette, La Tech.
Okay.
So these institutions, according to Campbell, are going to make a lot more money from television because, you know, right now if you're in CUSA, you might get, you know, $4.5 million from ESPN Plus. And in this hypothetical new contract that brings in everybody, suddenly that check might become $20 million, $18 million, $30 million, because the total value of the deal would be so much larger. So his thinking is, if everybody gets this much larger television check, they will have enough money to fund athlete revenue sharing that's going to go to mostly the football and men's basketball, and still pay the tennis coach, still pay to keep the swimming pool operating, and not have to cut anything. I don't think that is very realistic, but I understand why he would think that.
So, first of all, where's the money coming from?
The money hypothetically here is coming from ESPN, or it's coming from whoever buys the rights to this gigantic new football television package, whether that's Amazon or Google or anybody else, the entity that is paying the rights fees.
All right, and the other question I have is, it would seem like now the athletes are following the money, so while this guy might, Cody, whatever his name is, Campbell, might be interested in Texas Tech, the athletes are following the money, so how is that affecting the Olympic teams, unless Olympic sports, some of the like maybe track and field or tennis or, I don't know, golf, whatever, some Olympic sports aren't being funded at the...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Big university level? Is that what's going on?
That is what's happening. So the big universities, the Power Four, none of them have really dropped an Olympic sport entirely after the House settlement. Mm. But many of them have cut scholarships and cut operational spending for those programs. So I can give an example. At my alma mater, Ohio State has a very successful men's volleyball and men's gymnastics program. Mm-hmm. They compete for national championships. They've sent players to the Olympics. Those programs still exist, but they're not giving scholarships anymore, and their operational budgets have been slashed. So Ohio State then has the money to give more scholarship aid and more infrastructure spending to football and women's basketball and a few other sports. What Campbell is saying is, hey, if Ohio State suddenly got an extra check for $15 million, they could afford to still give scholarships for men's volleyball and still maintain all of the football spending that they're currently doing. That is his hope.
So is there any credence to the fact that, from the university's standpoint, if somebody wants to pursue an Olympic dream of volleyball, be it on the men's side or women's side, at the Ohio State University, which has a noted program, and that's their best chance for success, that they're just going to foot the tuition themselves? Or is there any evidence other than anecdotal that would indicate, well, these Olympians would not exist but for scholarships? You see where I'm going with that?
Well, I do. And I was part of this is we need data, right?
Right.
I think the unpleasant reality is that Ohio State is prepared to make the sacrifice of never producing another male volleyball Olympian or never winning another men's volleyball national title if it means that they save $600,000 that they can reallocate somewhere else. Like, we'll have the team, but it will functionally be a Division III team. And there's a surprising number of Power Four Olympic sports that operate under that model.
So let me look at it the other way, and that is, then are there openings for schools to develop big volleyball programs, big swimming programs, big other Olympic sports programs, and the other schools have the football, the Ohio States have the football, but those other schools have the Olympic programs because that's where the athletes know they can be trained and develop.
I think that's entirely possible. And I can tell you that right now in some sports, there are schools that are making that bet. You know, to zoom out for a little bit about for men's volleyball specifically, the schools that have not cut spending and have been very successful and have decided it's cheaper and easier for us to compete there would be a school like Hawaii, mm-hmm. a school like UC Irvine or Long Beach. And over time, that may end up happening. You know, part of the challenge is not just about who's going to offer me scholarships, but who has facilities, who has a high level coach, and who can get me games against other high quality teams to prepare me for this. And over a long enough time period, sure, we may have a world where the Olympic pipeline in gymnastics and swimming and track shifts more towards the G5 or to places that think that, they can have a competitive advantage. But you can be the greatest swim team in the country right now. If you don't, the school doesn't make any money. No one's really selling tickets to watch swimming. So there's still going to be this major incentive, in my opinion, to focus on football and men's basketball, even if you're way more likely to win a championship or send someone to the Olympics in a different sport.
It seems like the easiest answer to this is for the government to sponsor the Olympic teams, as happens in other countries. Yes or no?
I think so. There's a reason why that's what everyone else does. The exact way the government funds them is different in lots of different countries. Mm-hmm. There are South American, European countries where that sponsorship comes through the military, and the military operates sporting academies. There are some places where there's a federal minister of sport, and essentially the equivalent of U.S. soccer is just like completely funded by the government, and they sponsor these things to great success. Our country has decided not to do that. There's very, very little federal funding for Olympic sports. The entities that have been subsidizing that have been universities. And that model is very much under threat. One way you could fix that is to have the government do it. Another way you could potentially fix it is to just make everybody a lot more money, and maybe you make them spend some of that money on Olympic sports. There are probably other ways.
I know you have to go, Matt. I appreciate your time. If, maybe instead of donating $3, whatever it is, on your tax return to the presidential election, because Lord knows there's enough money chasing that, maybe you donate it to the Olympic team, right?
Well, you could do something like that, too. A really popular idea in Congress and in academic circles right now is to take 3% tax on sports gambling. Mm-hmm. And every time that somebody, lays down the money line on the Vikings or something, we kick $4 of that and kick it to the U.S. Olympic Committee. I think there's ways of doing it without necessarily creating a new department or a new level of tax. I think this is the kind of conversation that should be happening in Congress more than what should we be doing about NIL, because this is a space where I think the government actually can't help.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it. Matt Brown, publisher of the Extra Points newsletter. You can go to extrapoints.com and find out more. If you want to subscribe, there's also a free version. We'll take a break, come back. It's about a year ago that St. Charles Parish was rocked by Hurricane Francine. I think we'll talk with Matt Jewell about that and more when we return on WWL 934 Traffic First.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.